I want to jump right in this morning, so here we go. Now, friends, if you haven't noticed yet, 2020 is a bit of a different year. It's a little bit different than what we expected and what so many people were saying about 2020, but it's been a little bit different. And because it's been different, we, meaning the pastoral staff and the leadership of this church, we have been doing our absolute best to be very, very intentional in the midst of the chaos and the confusion that exists on multiple levels. We have done our absolute best to continue to point people to Jesus, who is our unchangeable hope. We have done our best to point you toward the promises of God, to point you to the power of faith and trust, to encourage you, to give you deposits of courage to face whatever it is that you're facing in these times. And so I just want to say again that this morning is going to be another one of those examples where I am going to teach and encourage, maybe a little bit of pushing, challenging. I want to give you a word this morning that I know for a fact is going to change your life. I know for a fact it will. I want to talk to you this morning about eternal thanksgiving. Eternal thanksgiving. Now, I'm not talking about giving thanks forever, although we will do that and that has its place for sure. But I'm not talking about giving thanks forever. What I'm talking about is giving thanks in every circumstance and season of life. Because in the midst of that circumstance or season, God is doing an eternal work in us. So I want to talk about eternal thanksgiving, because whether it's in plenty or poverty, whether it's in pain or pleasure, whatever circumstance or season you are in, you have got to settle in your heart as a follower of Jesus that God is in the midst of your situation and circumstance doing an eternal work. And to miss that, friends, it is disastrous. So I want to talk to you about eternal thanksgiving this morning. So let's pray together now and position our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to receive from God. Heavenly Father, we come to you as sons and daughters, as your beloved. We come to you this morning, God, asking you to speak to us in a way that only you can, supernaturally, spiritually, miraculously, God. Would you speak to us? And then, Lord, may we mix that word that we hear with faith so that it would benefit and prosper us in our pursuit of you. Now, God, specifically this morning, what we're going to share can cut against all natural reason and logic. And so we have a challenge. Whether we are going to yield ourselves to natural reason and logic and resist your word, or yield ourselves to your truth and say to you, let it be done to us according to your word. Holy Spirit, come now, we pray. And do what only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, beloved, the Bible says some outlandish sounding things about the giving of thanks. It really does. If you've studied your scriptures about giving thanks to God, it says some outlandish sounding things. Outlandish sounding, they're not outlandish. They just sound outlandish. And because they sound outlandish, sometimes we just go, I'm gonna leave that for somebody else. Like, that's not for me. But I want to tell you this morning one more time that if we can allow God's word and his spirit to penetrate past our natural reason and logic, if we'll receive God's truth and then exercise it, listen to me, we will indeed go from glory to glory. We will grow in our experience with him. We will go from a level of immaturity to maturity. If we will allow God's truth to penetrate our hearts and then practice it in reality. So, one of the outlandish sounding things that the Word of God says about giving thanks is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Very common passage of scripture. Rejoice always. Well, that already just throws me into a tizzy. Rejoice always. Well, let's move on. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, let's just discount the rejoice always part. Let's just get straight to in everything, in the midst of everything, be a person who gives thanks in every circumstance and every season. Give thanks. What? You don't know my circumstance. You don't know my season. You don't know what's going on in my life. If you knew that, you would never say to me, in everything, give thanks. You would say, listen, I know it's a tough time right now. You know, you're kind of exempt from the giving of thanks thing. That's just for people who've really got it going on right now. But the scripture doesn't say that. It says, in the midst of everything, give thanks. And it goes beyond that and says, because this is God's will for us. Giving thanks in every circumstance and season of life, it is the very will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you don't find many things in scripture where it says specifically, hey, pay attention. What I'm telling you right now is the will of God for you. This is one of them. Giving thanks in the midst of everything, it is the will of God. Now think about that. Why? Why would it be the will of God for me to give thanks when I'm just totally prospered and my life is filled with pleasure? Why would I want to give thanks in that moment? Why would it be God's will? Because it keeps me from arrogance. It keeps me from thinking that I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing because I've done it on my own. You see, giving thanks puts us in a subordinate position and says, oh God, I know what I'm experiencing isn't because of my own might in doing. It's because you've been good to me. So giving thanks in times of pleasure and prosperity, it keeps us from becoming arrogant. Giving thanks in times of pain and poverty, what does it do there? Why would it be the will of God for my life then? Because it keeps me from bitterness. Keeps me from bitterness, and we can't say this too loudly this morning. If I will be thankful in every circumstance and season in my life, even the painful things in life, it'll keep me from becoming bitter. This is just true. And I can tell you now, as an old man of 56 years who has pastored thousands of people over the last 30 years, I have watched people go through horrific experiences. And I have watched those who chose to be bitter. Bitterness overtakes them. And I've watched them turn their back on Jesus. And I have watched people who have gone through tragedy continue to thank him in the midst of all things. And I have watched them grow from glory to glory and mature more and more and learn to trust God more and more. And I have watched God pour his Spirit out upon them and use their lives in greater and greater ways. In all things, give thanks. I know it might sound crazy and outlandish, but it is powerful truth. And it is something that we've got to allow ourselves to experience. It is a choice that we have to make. We just do. Well, if giving thanks in all things doesn't sound outlandish to you, let me get to the next verse, which takes it to a whole nother level. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Paul here writes, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture doesn't just tell me to give thanks in all things. It tells me to give thanks for all things. Well, now, preacher, I know you have lost it. Because how in the world could you tell me to give thanks for this situation? How could the Bible expect that from me? That's craziness. If we're talking about giving thanks for prosperity and pleasure, we get that. But if we talk about giving thanks for pain and tragedy, that's a whole nother level. It is a whole nother level of Christian growth and maturity that the kingdom of God welcomes us to participate in. Give thanks always for all things. How in the world, Jimmy, am I going to be able to do that? I'm going to tell you how. I want you to listen to me. It's going to require you, number one, to have eternal perspective. And number two, listen to me now, to value the eternal work that God is doing in the midst of your situation. You see, we look at the scripture and we say, giving thanks always for all things. You want me to give thanks for this thing? And what we do is we isolate it as its own freestanding, traumatic, or evil event. And you want me to give thanks for cancer? You want me to give thanks for abuse? You want me to give thanks for bankruptcy? The scripture never tells us to isolate what we call bad things and give thanks for it. It calls us to look at it from a different perspective, bigger than isolation. It is expanding our vision of the situation and knowing this, that even in our pain, God is in the midst of doing an eternal work. Therefore, in the midst of that pain, I'm not isolating the pain and giving thanks for it. I'm moving back from it and seeing what God is up to in the midst of that thing. Again, giving thanks for blessing and prosperity, that's easy. We would have no problem with that. I want to say to you that the scripture invites us, yea, even commands us, to give thanks for painful, traumatic, very difficult things. Because even in these things, God is up to some eternal work in our lives. And if we value that, we'll be in it for the long haul. Listen to me. If we only value temporary comfort and enjoyment, we are going to jump ship as soon as it gets difficult. And I've seen it way too often. But if I actually understand in the midst of my pain and suffering that God is doing something in the midst of that that is greater still, that God is up to something in the midst of that that is conforming me into the image of Jesus in both his suffering and his resurrection power, If I understand that God will never leave me or forsake me, I understand that he's up to something. And because I value being changed into the image of Jesus, I'm in it for the long haul. So in the midst of all things, yes, God, I'm going to thank you. For all things, yes, God, I'm going to thank you. But I'm not going to isolate that thing by itself and just say, I'm giving thanks for that. No, I'm giving thanks for that because as I step back and look and understand who God is, I understand that he is working in me a far more eternal weight of glory. And that matters to me as someone who wants to be conformed into the image of Jesus. If you don't care about that, again, you're cutting and running. We're talking about eternal thanksgiving, having an eternal perspective, and understanding that even in the toughest times, he's worthy and he's up to something that's incredible. Listen now, Paul says it like this in Romans 8:18. He said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I love that Paul never denies his suffering. He just looks beyond it. He sees a bigger picture. He acknowledges his suffering, but he sees God doing something that is bigger than that. He looks beyond it to a glorious work. And it causes Paul to give thanks in and for all things. If we'll understand that there is a greater glory, if we'll understand that there's a bigger purpose in the midst of even our most difficult, debilitating times, again, we will see the glory of God descend upon our lives like never before. We will be people like Job who say, you know what? I've heard of you with the hearing of my ear in times past, but now I see you. We'll be like people that I've heard over the years say, let me tell you what happened in my life. I got this bad report, this awful thing happened, this traumatic experience visited me, and I stuck with God, and he stuck with me. And I continue to give eternal thanksgiving even in the midst of it. And what God did and worked in me in the midst of that, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Amen. This is what God can do. This is what God does when we're thankful in all things and for all things. I love the fact that Paul just doesn't write or speak about his experiences. I love that you can look at his life and go, man, that dude practiced what he preached right there. Because in Acts 16:25, when he's bound in a Philippian jail, and when we find Paul and Silas doing what? Praising God, giving God thanks, praying, blessing, worshiping God. In all things and for all things, God comes through with a greater weight of glory and miraculously delivers him. He doesn't know that when he's being thankful in all things and for all things. He's just doing it because it's right. And look at how God visited him in those situations. And beloved, I study for myself. I want to grow in the grace of Jesus in this stuff. And I can't help but ask myself, what miracles might we experience in our lives if we learn to give eternal thanks in all things and for all things? What might we position ourselves for? That apart from positioning ourselves with eternal thanksgiving in all things and for all things, we never would experience it.
But when we position ourselves there to say, God, I am suffering right now. This is a difficult time. But I'm going to give you thanks. My mind tells me I'm crazy, but my spirit is leaping. I'm going to give you thanks in all things, and I'm going to give you thanks for all things, because I know that you are working a great eternal work in me, God. And I want to experience a greater weight of your glory on my life. And watch and see what God does. What we're talking about is eternal perspective and being supernaturally, spiritually minded. And not letting natural reason and logic cause the promises and presence and power of God to be aborted in the midst of our pain. I love you, Lord. I love you. I thank you. God, I'm going through a difficult time. I thank you. I love you. Lord, I know you never leave me or forsake me. I know you're going to work something amazing. I know you're going to conform me into the image of Jesus, and that matters to me. And if it only can come through pain and suffering, I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I want my faith to be deep and not shallow. I want to be a mature believer and not immature. Yeah, I want to know the fellowship of your sufferings. And yeah, I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want it all. So I bless you, mighty God, in all things and for all things. Come on, we got to learn that, friends. We got to learn that. And when we do, greater glory comes. Jesus is our ultimate example of giving thanks in and for all things. I don't know if you've ever connected the dots on this as Jesus is having the Last Supper with the disciples. Luke 22, 19 and 20. Look at this. And Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, meaning he did the exact same thing and gave thanks again for the cup. He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup, it is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Hold on a minute here. Hold on a minute here. This is way past a communion thought. This is human Jesus. This isn't Son of God Jesus. This is Son of Man Jesus. This is Jesus in his human body picking up a loaf of bread, busting it, breaking it, and giving thanks. Giving thanks. And he says what? This is my body. In just a few hours, my physical body is going to be totally broken and ripped to pieces. Abba, I give you thanks. You talk about in all things and for all things. Jesus is the ultimate example. And likewise, he took the cup. And what does he say? This cup, it's my blood. It's the new covenant. And it is shed for you. Just like my body is broken for you, the cup is shed for you. And it's my blood. In a matter of hours, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten, flogged, whipped, crucified. My body will be unrecognizable because of the torture that it's about to go through. I'm going to bleed like nobody has ever bled. God, give you thanks. What? What? Because he knows the bigger picture. He knows that this isn't just about his own suffering. He knows that the broken body, he knows that his shed blood is going to pay the ransom for all of mankind to be forgiven of their sins, to be able to go to heaven. And for that bigger picture, he says, God, I thank you. How do we know this is going through his mind? Because the scripture tells us, Hebrews 12:2. What does Hebrews 12:2 say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus, while he's giving thanks in all things and for all things, is looking beyond the immediate suffering to the bigger picture. This is going to produce salvation. And it is for the joy that is before him. He is able to endure every unfair, unjust thing he's going through. Are we talking this morning? Are we communicating about what real Christian life is like and what it looks like? Am I communicating with anybody at all? Somebody at least lie to me. Am I talking to anybody this morning to say, Steve, I get it. If I'm gonna be somebody who gives eternal thanks, I'm gonna have to see God's eternal plan even in the midst of my pain. I'm gonna have to see the bigger picture. Friends, I know this is going to challenge us. Do you know there's more important things to God than your physical comfort? God, can you even say that in Williamson County without becoming a heretic? I don't know. God is more concerned about conforming you to the image of Jesus than he is the comfort of your flesh. And so, I need to give thanks in all things, for all things, because he's always working a far greater weight of glory. Okay, so, there's my introduction. Now, I want to just move on now to this next section, because this is gonna bless you, and it's gonna anchor you, and it's gonna give you somewhere to start if this is all new to you. We're gonna go over this together. I wanna tell you this morning, friends, that you can give eternal thanks to God because of God's eternal goodness toward you that he's already done. He's already done it, and it has nothing to do with our temporary conditions. It has everything to do with his eternal glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, get ready. Paul again writes and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him, in Christ,
We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Steve, what in the world is all that about? I'm going to tell you what it's all about. It is all about what God has already done for you if you are in Christ this morning. If you're not in Christ this morning, you better get in Christ this morning. This is what God has done for his sons and daughters who have trusted Jesus. And it has, again, nothing to do with your current physical, temporal circumstances. It has everything to do with his eternal glory. Are you ready? He told us in verse 3. Mark this down for yourself, man. Come on, mark this down. Do you know you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? You, as a follower of Jesus, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You lack nothing in Christ. Peter tells you what? That he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. God, in his generous benevolence, in his extravagant goodness, has given the child of God every single thing that they need, that you need, that I need, blessed with every spiritual blessing. Do you know, beloved, that you've been chosen? You've been chosen. Since before the foundation of the world, God said, I want you. You're wanted. You are welcomed. You are needed in the kingdom of God. How does the mystery of all of that work? Man, we could argue about it forever, or we could embrace it with gratitude. Chosen before the foundation of the world. What else? Did you know that you're holy this morning?
Oh, Steve, you don't know where I was last night.
You're holy. We look at our lives through the lens of our own failed experience, and we forget, to our detriment, that God sees us through blood-stained glasses. He sees us in Christ, who is perfect and holy. And Alice, he says, Alice, when I see you, man, I've given you everything you need, Alice. I've blessed you with everything. I chose you, Alice. I want you. You matter to me. And when I see you, you're holy to me. Wow. Wow. Not sinful, holy. Do you know when you're in Christ, verse 4 tells us that we are blameless, blameless, not guilty, not walking around with shame, not beating myself up and trying to do my own penance to prove to God how sorry I am for what I've done. No, when God sees us in Christ, we are blameless and not guilty. Do you know when he sees you? He sees you before him in love, not hate. I know most followers of Jesus don't think they're hated, for sure. But some of us think that we're merely tolerated.
And God says, I don't hate you. And I don't just tolerate you. I just don't put up with you. I love you. I love you. And you are blameless and holy and chosen and blessed. That's who you are. You've been adopted, verse 5. You have been brought into all of the legal rights and privileges of being a member of God's family. Adopted. Verse 6 tells you that you were favored. I know in most of our translations, in fact, mine that I read says, made us accepted in the beloved, but the word there means to be favored and highly favored at that. I'm highly favored in Christ. It means that there are extra measures of God's goodness and grace on my life that are not available to people who are outside of Christ. Well, that doesn't sound fair to me. God never said favor was fair. He just said it's what I do. You're favored, highly favored. Verse 7 says, you've been redeemed. Your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. They've been cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. Redeemed, redeemed, forgiven. Both of these things found in verse 7. Verse 10 talks about this heavenly gathering that's going to take place. He's gathered all things to himself, whether in heaven or on earth. For the follower of Jesus, there is going to be a heavenly gathering, a glorious reunion. And as wonderful as it's going to be able to see face to face our loved ones who have gone before us, or the famous people who have gone before us that we've got all kinds of questions for, we get to see Jesus. There is going to be a heavenly gathering where we're going to see the Son of God, not by faith, but face to face. Wow. This is all promised for me in Christ. Verse 13, we're almost there. Sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked as God's own special people. And then verse 14 ends the list of these 12 incredible blessings that says, because you've been marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit, that is in fact the guarantee of your inheritance. The guarantee. You know what that means? It means that the guarantee of these things being realized in my life is based on God's faithfulness to himself and to his covenant. And it's not about me. We have the guarantee because of God's Spirit living within us, and he cannot deny himself. Ken, that's worth clapping about, isn't it? That's worth being happy about, isn't it? That's worth giving eternal thanks for, isn't it? None of these glorious blessings have anything to do with our temporary earthly circumstances. Therefore, we offer eternal thanksgiving for them. We can be eternally thankful today in all things and for all things, because no things can steal or overshadow that which God has for us, that which he has already accomplished for us. I'm going to end with this last scripture, just two verses, because I just think, again, it's one of Paul's neat little summaries about all of this. Colossians 1, 12 and 13, what does he say? He says, I want you to give thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He says to every single one of us who are in Christ, here's what you need to know. God says, I have qualified you because you were disqualified on your own. I have qualified you to this incredible inheritance. And I did it by delivering you from the power of darkness. You didn't come to the light by yourself. God says, I snatched you out of darkness. And then finally, I conveyed you or transferred you into the kingdom of the Son of my love. Come on. The more I understand the gospel, the more I realize it's about what he has done for me than what I have ever done for myself. And if I will just start believing what he's done for me, if I'll start receiving who I am in him, I'll start giving myself over to eternal thanksgiving in all things and for all things, because God is for me. Therefore, who can be against me? Come on, somebody. That's what we're talking about this morning. Eternal thanksgiving. It's been a tough year for a lot of people. 2021 might be a tough year. I don't know. Whether it's 2021, 2051, the changing, the ebbs and flows, the chaos and confusion of this world, these are not the things that dictate how I respond to God. I respond to God based on what he has already done for me and who he says I am. Therefore, I will give eternal thanksgiving, and I will not be so shallow as to offer thanksgiving only when things go my way. God forbid. I want it all. I want it all. Well, let's pray and ask God to help us today, shall we? So, Father, one more time now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. We make a choice right now to mix it with faith. God, we say yes and amen to giving thanks in all things and for all things. Yes and amen to that. We choose the mind over the mind of the Spirit, over the logic of our flesh. We're going to give eternal thanks. And we believe, oh God, that we're going to see a much greater weight of glory as we do. God, would you grow us up by your Spirit? Would you mature us in Christ? Would you teach us, God, what it's like to praise you when it's dark and scary and lonely? God, visit us. Visit us. Visit us right there. God, thank you for what you've done for us, what you've given us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, friends, I want to tell you one more time. If you're not going through a tough time right now, you're gonna at some point in your life. What we talked about today will anchor your soul. Learn it. Know it. Do it. And watch God conform you into the image of his Son. I'm saying this for me. You can say it for you if you want. Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, have your way. I thank you in all things, and I thank you for all things. Lord, have your way. Have your way. I love you and trust you, God, with it all. God, have your way. Have your way. I'll never stop thanking you. God, have your way.
in Jesus' name, who is the strong Son of God, in Jesus' name. Amen, church family. Amen, amen, followers of Jesus. Amen, amen, body of Christ. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Give eternal thanks. He's worthy of it all. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. Love you. Happy Thanksgiving.